Welcome to Calvary Chapel, Wichita. May God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Most of you guys know me. You know I'm not the regular pastor here. Our pastor, Bob, is off on a well-deserved vacation. So this is going to be your opportunity to see some different faces up here and to hear a little different commentary, a little different viewpoint on things. I think that's always interesting. And maybe get to know us a little better. Like I said, I'm not a pastor, but I'm here today because Pastor Bob says I'm fat. That's actually an acronym for faithful, available, and teachable. Although my wife might argue that last point. If I happen to be fat also, that's just a coincidence. We're going to be in the book of Philemon today. And it's a short little book, but it is full of good stuff. Philemon is unique in the writing of Paul in the Bible. Paul authored this while he was in prison in Rome. And as such, it is the last of the prison epistles. And it was also the shortest epistle written by the apostle. Say that fast three times if you can. Epistle written by the apostle. But it also differs from his normal epistles. Normally, Paul would write to a specific church or a specific body of people. This is a personal letter written to his good friend Philemon. Now, Philemon was a wealthy man in the city of Colossae. He was wealthy enough to own a house large enough that they held the church there in his house. I don't know how big that church was, but I know it would take a pretty good size house. And also, he was wealthy enough to own slaves. And that is how this letter came to be written. But as another note, he was also a convert of Paul's. Paul had led him to the Lord sometime, possibly when Paul was in Ephesus, which is just a short distance from Colossae. And therefore, Philemon owed Paul his eternal life. He had a debt of gratitude that he owed Paul. But one of Philemon's slaves, a man named Onesimus, whose name, by the way, means useful, had become pretty useless. And he had ran away, and in the process, he stole something from his master. He had made his way to Rome. And possibly he was thinking he could get lost in the large city, which had a huge population of slaves. But somehow, he met up with Paul. And Paul led him to the Lord also. And I think that's what my daughter Terry would call a real God incidence. I don't think it's just coincidence that a man would travel over 1,000 miles to a huge city. Rome at this time had over 1.5 million people in its population. And only to meet up with Paul. The same man who is not only a good friend of the guy you're running away from, he's the guy that led him to the Lord. Now, we don't know. Maybe Onesimus actually knew Paul from back in Colossae. Maybe he sought him out for help when he realized what he had done and what kind of jam he was in. However it happened, we know the Lord had a hand in it. There's no doubt about that. And as him being saved, not many people resisted Paul's message. I look at Paul, kind of like Hansel and Gretel, only he left a trail of believers wherever he went. You could just track him down by it. But as brothers in Christ, Paul and Onesimus became very close. Paul made good use of Onesimus, being able to move about the city. He was carrying messages, receiving messages, and doing Paul's bidding and whatever errands and things he might have. And also, I believe, it's not spelled out here, but I believe he had a hand in testimony to the population of slaves. It was a big population of slaves, where here was a slave who could tell them what Christ had done for him. But even so, Paul urges Onesimus to do the right thing, to go back to Philemon and make restitution. What a testimony to the changing power of the gospel. He had gone from a thief and a runaway slave to a Christian bound by love to set his wrongs right. You know, from time to time I've heard people say, why doesn't God do miracles anymore? He does do miracles. And I'm looking at a whole bunch of them right now. A miracle just as he did to Onesimus. The changing of somebody's heart is the most amazing thing in the world. There's no other way to explain it, but it's a miracle of God. That's it. And you know, there was a time in most of your lives, and maybe not that long ago, when you couldn't even dream of looking forward to going to church every week. That you never thought that you would have a personal relationship with God, the creator of the universe. And now it's happened. And not only that, now you want to draw closer to him and know more about him all the time. That is a miracle. But the problem Paul has in this case is runaway slaves at this time were punished very harshly, sometimes even to death. So asking Onesimus to go back was a huge step. When Onesimus agrees to go back, Paul sends this letter with him, asking Philemon to welcome Onesimus back as a brother in Christ and not as a runaway slave. That is a huge request. A huge request. And you look at it from Philemon's point. This guy had done him wrong. He stole from him and ran away from him. But I'm to receive him back as a brother? That is a huge step. But then again, how can you refuse a request from Paul? We're going to start out here. Paul starts out, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer. You know, Paul at no time acknowledges being a prisoner of Rome or a prisoner of the Caesar. Instead, he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He was, in fact, in prison because of his faith. But I believe that that was no surprise to Paul at all. Back in Acts 9:16, the Lord says, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." So I think Paul knew ahead of time that he was going to end up in prison. He knew all the things that was going to happen to him. The beatings, the stonings, the riots, everything. But still he stepped out in faith because he knew that God had a plan for him. And he addresses Philemon as his fellow laborer or worker for the gospel. So they were of like mind. Verse 2, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Apphia was Philemon's wife, and Archippus was believed to be the pastor in this church. Some commentaries also claimed him to be Philemon's son, but that's not agreed upon by all, and it's not spelled out in the Bible, so that's purely conjecture. He goes on to say, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Peace is one thing that I am really grateful for. And I often wonder, how do you find peace in this world without knowing the Lord? If you're out there in the world in the shape it's in today, where can you find peace? I have no idea. But I know our peace is from God through His grace, and no one can take it from us. Now we can give it away and we can let it slip away, but nobody can take it from us. It is a spiritual state resulting from a proper relationship with God. And that's one of the reasons we go through communion, so we can maintain that proper relationship with God. If you don't have peace in your life today, you need to ask yourself why. Because it's there. It's there for the asking. If we just remember the promises of God, we should have peace and joy in our lives in abundance. Verse 4, Paul goes on to say, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers. And don't you feel good when you know someone's praying for you? I know I do. Therefore, we know how to make everyone feel good all the time. We just pray for them. Just pray for them all the time. He goes on to say, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to love other believers? You know, that same spirit that's in us is in them too, and that creates a bond. It creates a drawing towards each other. And having that like spirit and like heart draws us together, bonds us together. Now we have the same views and the same desires, and that desire is to know God even more today than we did yesterday, even more tomorrow than we do today, and to try to show His love to all. And that's not always easy, but if we get ourselves out of the way and let His Spirit work in our lives, we can do it. And furthermore, we must do it. In this day, in this time that we're in, it's very important that we show people true Christian love. We show people what it's all about. I know Sheldon does a great job of that, going out on street witnessing on Saturday nights. And that's just an awesome thing. That's an awesome thing. You do a great job, Sheldon. Verse 6 goes on to say that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You know, as we gain a better understanding of all the blessings we have in Christ, we become more eager to share our faith and more effective at doing it. I was listening to CSN, listening to K.P. Yohannan on CSN, and he was talking about how some of the poor Christians in Africa and India, when they thank God for their blessings, they're talking about the gift of salvation. That's all they have. They don't have anything else. They don't have cars and homes and money and stuff, all the stuff that we have. It's amazing the amount of stuff we accumulate. Are those blessings from God? I think His free gift, the free gift of salvation, is the blessing that He has given us. That's the greatest blessing of all. The free gift of His perfect plan for us. And it's a plan that we couldn't provide for ourselves. It's a plan that we couldn't even dream up, even if we had a million years to do it. That's how we know it was God's plan. It's so far beyond man's capability that we know it had to be God. Verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Philemon's demonstration of love towards the saints brought joy to Paul because he could see Christ's love in action. Our actions affect others, even when we don't know it. Some of the little things we do, somebody's watching. Somebody sees those things. Now, we may never have a chance to lead someone to Jesus, but we have the opportunity every day to point someone towards Jesus or point them away from Jesus. I know the workplace is an easy place to get drawn by the other guys, the other people working there, the world. It'd be easy to drop into that mode. I really find myself being on guard because everyone where I work knows I'm a Christian. And I feel like they're just waiting for me to mess up. Say, ha, some Christian you are. So it's something we need to be conscious of at all times, even when wherever we're at or whoever's around. We need to portray ourselves the way that God wants us to. Verse 8, therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul chooses love over authority. Paul had every right to use his authority as an apostle and as the person that led Philemon to the Lord. He could have commanded him that he accept Onesimus back. But he chose the method that Jesus himself used. He chose love. In Matthew, Jesus says, we will be known as his followers by our love for one another. Love is the more effective method. Love never fails. And it all starts, once again, with that personal relationship with the Lord. Without that relationship, we cannot know that love that he has for us and he wants us to have for everyone else. Verse 10. Oh, I still got part of verse 9 to do. Sorry. Notice Paul even uses the fact that he is old and in chains to persuade Philemon. Paul doesn't miss anything. But back in that day, being an old man had an extra meaning. Since older men were seen to have wisdom and they were to be respected. I think it should still be that way today. Verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. So Paul, having led Onesimus to salvation, considered him to be a son. He was as dear to him and as close to him as his own son. Who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and me. Onesimus was a new man. The old man was dead. Onesimus as a Christian was now useful, as his name implies, both to Philemon and to Paul. Verse 12, I am sending him back. You, therefore, receive him. That is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. Paul asked Philemon to receive Onesimus even as he would receive Paul himself as a brother in Christ. You know, there's a Christian way to do things, and God has established a plan for every area of our lives. Our spiritual lives, we are to read the Bible, to pray and fellowship. Our personal lives, we are to be the good example, honest, truthful, polite, respectful, charitable. Our family lives, I'm not going to go there. That's a whole nother study in itself. Our church lives, we are to be respectful of authority, to be charitable. Our work, place. We are to be a good employee, to do our job as unto the Lord. And as a citizen, we are called to be good citizens, to obey the government, even if we disagree with it. And we just have to trust that God has it under control, and his plan is the best plan. Sometimes we look at the things that are going on and we think, oh, what a mess. What is going on? That's the world we live in. But have that faith that God has a plan for it. And guys, we know the ending. We know how it turns out. So we just rest in that faith, that trust in God. That will get us through it. And if you follow his guidelines and submit to authority as God directs, your life will be much happier, more productive, and a whole lot less stressful. Verse 15. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul said back in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. And that's the way God sees us. God doesn't see our accomplishments, our station in life. He sees our hearts. He doesn't see what level of society we're at. He sees beyond that. He is no respecter of persons. He sees through all that. You notice Paul does not condemn slavery or prohibit it. In fact, he sends Onesimus back to his master. But the abuses connected to slavery are condemned throughout the New Testament. The Bible doesn't call for forceful revolution, but it offers change through the new creation in Christ and stressing the spiritual equality of master and slave. You know, some slaves were indeed better off with a kind master. They did better than they could have out in the world on their own. Just as we, as bondservants of Jesus, are better off than we were before. Paul knew that sending Onesimus back was not doing him an injustice. He knew that Philemon would treat him with Christian kindness and Onesimus would serve with Christian faithfulness. He goes on to say, if then you count me as a partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes anything, put that on my account. As a partner, Paul is a partner of Philemon, a partaker, might be another way to put it. He partakes from the same thing that Philemon has, from the goodness of the Lord, from the gospel, just as we all partook from the same loaf of bread this morning. So they're in it together. He asked to receive him, to receive Onesimus as an old friend. And also, that's a wonderful example of what Jesus did for us, to put that wrong on his account. All of our sins were charged on Jesus' account, and he paid for them all at Calvary. And no matter what you have done in the past or what kind of person you were, it's all paid for. It's paid in full. There's nothing more we can do. Verse 19, I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. You know, it's thought that Paul had a problem with his eyesight. We know he had some physical affliction that he carried with him. Normally, he used a scribe to write his letters. He would dictate these letters to the scribe and have them write them out. But in this case, he wrote this letter with his own hand. One reason might be to ensure his promise of payment. It was written in his own hand, therefore he was good for it. Another reason might be as a special favor to Philemon, to show the importance of this letter, to just show how serious this matter is. Paul's signature guaranteed any payment due, in spite of the fact that Philemon owed him a considerable debt, his spiritual life, as Paul has led him to the Lord. But I always have to laugh when somebody says, not to mention that you owe me. You just mentioned it. What's up with that? Besides which, it's probably true. Goes on to say, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Receiving and restoring Onesimus would refresh Paul's heart. The old King James Version of the Bible says, refresh my bowels in the Lord. So I'm thinking that had a whole different meaning back then than it does now. But in fact, it did. It meant your innermost parts, the innermost part of your being. And that, of course, is where you feel any great emotion. But by being refreshed, the Lord would relieve Paul of any concern or uneasiness or any anxiety he was feeling over this whole thing, this whole issue. He continues in verse 21, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Like in Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Paul was confident that Philemon would do the right thing, would make the right decision, that he would do even more than he was asked to do, possibly even sending Onesimus back to Rome for Paul's service. Verse 22, he says, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Paul hoped to be released soon and to go and visit Philemon. And we really don't know if he ever did. The Bible doesn't tell us. We also don't know how Onesimus was received. But who could refuse a request such as this? History does tell us that early church father Ignatius of Antioch mentions an Onesimus as the bishop of Ephesus in the early second century. I just got to believe that this is the same Onesimus in Paul's letter. Furthermore, it's thought that Onesimus could have been the first to compile the letters of Paul, which would explain why this personal letter to Philemon is included alongside letters written to Christian communities and how they all made it into the Bible. You know, so Paul's act of love had a much greater effect than even he could have imagined. A simple letter to his good friend is still teaching people almost 2,000 years later. So once again, we don't know how our actions affect others, what kind of effect, how large an effect they're going to have. He continues on, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. See, Paul had his little group of guys that went with him and were there to serve him and also to carry messages to and from Paul. And you know, we see the names of Mark and Luke, who both wrote Gospels. Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And it's just neat to see that he had this support group with him, you know, that he wasn't alone in chains, that he had these godly men with him at all times. And we can see the book of Philemon is all about forgiveness. You know, as believers, we should be too. After all, who knows more about forgiveness than those that have been forgiven? You know, if there's someone in your life that you haven't forgiven, let today be that day that you would forgive them. Let's forgive as our Lord has forgiven us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for that wonderful gift of your word. It's so rich. There's so much we can draw from it. But Father, I would ask today that we would just open our hearts. We would forgive any of those that have wronged us. Sometimes we just hang on to that just a little too long, just a little too tight, and it's just so hard to let go. But help us do that, Father. Help us cleanse ourselves from anything that is separating us from you, Father. Once again, I just thank you for the work that you've done in our hearts, the work that Christ has done on the cross, Lord. For it's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. If you have any questions, please contact us at area code 316-263-3804 or check us out on the web at www.calvarychapelwichita.org.